Today, friends, we're starting a new series. And we spent the last month looking at the birth narrative of Jesus, along with the other characters, Mary and Joseph, shepherds, Herod. And I'm super grateful for the Advent planning team that helped put that together. Really grateful for your collaboration and just the different gifts that each person brought to that. We read about the prophecy of Jesus' birth and how threatened Herod was. The journey Mary and Joseph took and the shepherds spreading the good word. So now Jesus has arrived. He's fully human and fully divine. And it begs the question every year to me, what now? Or so what? Jesus of Nazareth walked and breathed and lived. And what value does that hold for us today? Does it matter? Do we get up in the morning and think about that Jesus lived and modeled for us? Does it change how we live our lives? Jesus came to earth and ate and drank and slept and farted and grieved and threatened power structures. It can be said that as humans, we can tend to make God in our own image. Or we put God in a box, or maybe where we're comfortable with God living or being. At least we're looking at God through our individual lenses. And oftentimes, we can focus on one or two aspects of Jesus that we're especially drawn to. I think it's natural as humans. Maybe we focus on things or aspects we're fond of or that we really greatly admire or respect. Maybe they might be parts of Jesus that we have a deficit in. So during this next 7-week series, we're going to look at many facets of Jesus represented in the Gospels. Today we'll look at Jesus as friend. Next week we'll look at Jesus as healer. And we'll look at Jesus as teacher, as savior, as Lord, as a servant leader, and as a prophet. So we'll consider these aspects of Jesus and maybe find some blind spots or parts that we don't pay too close attention to. Okay, so think of one of your closest friends before there was caller ID. And they called you on the phone. Maybe it was a rotary phone. And you said, hello. And they said, hello. And you knew who it was right away by the tone of their voice. You may know their coffee order or their favorite flower. Maybe about this friend, you know some of their tender places and what can make them laugh. You know them. You know them because you've invested in them, because you've spent time with them. You've been with them in joyful moments and in difficult moments. You've prioritized this person in spending time with them. And we're going to see that Jesus was also this kind of friend. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus treating his disciples with love and respect. Jesus knew he couldn't do this work alone, and that he had to invite others to be on the journey with him. Jesus prayed for them. In John 17, Jesus asked God to keep the disciples, to protect the disciples, and to be with the disciples. Jesus prayed for the disciples before his final moments on the cross. In fact, he prayed for all of those present. He even prayed for the ones that crucified him. We see throughout the Gospels that Jesus spent time with people who were unclean, these people, sometimes the disciples were afraid it'd be a bad look on Jesus if he was seen hanging out with them. Tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, the people that society often dismissed. We see over and over again Jesus spending time with all people, not giving way to social stratification, treating each and every person as if they were created in the image of God. We see Jesus grieving and weeping. After learning that Lazarus had died, Jesus is moved and deeply troubled by the sight of Mary, Martha, and others weeping, and he himself cries. He shares in the pain and anguish of losing a friend. That helps me know that Jesus empathizes with my pain and suffering. I remember in my early 30s when a dear friend suddenly died. And I was super distraught, and Colin was actually, we knew we needed a pastor and called Colin over. And he named it so beautifully for me. He said, "This pain you're feeling is because you loved this person." We weep and we cry when we lose people we love. And that's what Jesus did here. I can imagine or viscerally feel the pain Jesus felt when learning of his friend's death. And maybe you can too. We see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He served his friends. He cared for them, for their spiritual and their physical health. Jesus shows humility and deep love by washing their feet. I'll never forget when Maggie was 7 and I was pregnant with Henry, and we were volunteering with Bridgetown Ministries, which was a ministry that would hang out under the Burnside Bridge and give haircuts and clothing and food and wash feet. And Maggie and I were assigned to the wash feet station. And they, you know, directed us over there, and they would have someone kind of sit in a taller chair. And for a moment I hesitated because I had this belly and I was like, how am I gonna get over? And Maggie was just like, "I got it, Mom." Which is totally your personality, but she went ahead and washed the feet. She hopped right in. And I remember her asking, "Do you want some lotion? Do you want some talc?" And I'm kind of like, I don't even know what talc is, but she showed me what love looked like. And Jesus modeled this kind of love. These are all ways Jesus was a friend. And for today, I'd like to dig deeper into John 15, 12 to 17. So let me read it for us today. "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command: love each other." If you've been in the church a while, this is a familiar passage. And I think I know many of you, and I would say all of us try to live in this way. We try to love in this way. I I think if each of us were asked what it means to love someone, we would fall somewhere in this ballpark. However, in AD 25, this would have been revolutionary. Commentators say, you know, that living and being a good Jew meant that you followed the law. You lived by faith. And Jesus isn't saying that we need to, like, get rid of that, but Jesus is setting a new standard. Jesus is talking about loving one another and self-sacrifice. Just before this passage, Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. You are the vine, and we are the branches. That if we abide in God, we will bear much fruit. By making our home in God, all the blessings of Israel become ours. This new covenant that he's establishing here is different than that of the Old Testament. It's not a servant obedience, but a friendship obedience. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. And we see that with Jesus. Meeting with folks of questionable reputations, Jesus met people right where they were. Jesus loved at all times. He was there in the difficult times. He is steady and steadfast. When Jesus tells his disciples that they are his friends, he may not mean those he drinks a beer with and watches Monday Night Football with, because they didn't have TV, so that's why they didn't do that. And in fact, Nathan was saying Jesus can't be called a friend because he never helped him move a piano. And that's how you know who your friend is, because they'll hop in and move a piano. There is an element of companionship within this friendship with Jesus. And it is connected to abiding in God, abiding in the vine. First, we centralize our lives on God, and then we love as Jesus has loved us. We are rooted and grounded in God first and foremost, and then we can be a friend like Jesus was. I remember as a child, after a pinky swear, like, no, I mean it. Do you mean it? No, let's pinky swear. If that didn't quite cut it, we would become blood sisters. Where I would usually just take a little pencil and get like a dot of blood, and then she would get a dot of blood, and then we were blood sisters, and that was like the next level. But that was a pact or a covenant we were making. And I think something similar is happening here in John 15. That Jesus is saying, this is what it was, but I'm ratcheting it up. I'm making a new covenant. A covenant of love and friendship. Jesus is dedicating himself to our redemption by establishing this new covenant. When Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, he's speaking about the change in relationship. There's a shift. New covenant love lays down your life for the sake of friends. And the disciples are Jesus' friends. And he's saying this the night before his crucifixion. So the disciples don't know, but he's going to be laying down his life the next day. Jesus gives us a new imperative to live by, to love others as Jesus loves us. This love is reciprocal. It works both ways. Jesus calls the disciples friends so that they know this isn't a master-servant relationship, but one of reciprocity and mutual service and sacrifice and love. Long time ago, I watched a documentary or a study, I can't remember, that the basic premise was that poverty was friendlessness. That the root of poverty was not having a friend. The sociologist argued that friends won't let friends live on the street. If your friend is struggling or loses their job or loses their housing, you invite your friend into your home. If your friend is hungry, you feed or care for them. And I will admit there's boundary issues and other aspects of this that I'm not going to address, but I want to acknowledge that they're there for sure. I don't know about you, but I think that's why it's getting harder to not give housing to folks that need it. As we spend more time at the drop-ins shelter or with those that need recovery in a safe place, it's hard to not offer the housing that we have, which is why I echo Larry's prayer that the city would find some movement. Our listserv is an example of helping each other out, either by one person having excess and offering it, or by one person having a need. I've heard many of you call it the magical listserv, because oftentimes, not always, oftentimes, some wild need is met. Maybe North Valley can have a role in the kingdom of God by offering friendship, by reducing poverty in that way. Maybe.